Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the first reading from Acts. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the book of Acts, you've got huge mega events that are recorded. The ascension of our Lord and Pentecost are two of the biggest, for example. You know those two. But sandwiched between those two events is, of all things, a call meeting. To use our language, a voters' meeting, really. Indeed, it takes place in an upper Jerusalem room. Incredibly, and also ran, a man that you've never heard of, the Lord chooses through his first congregation of 120 to fill the apostolic office left vacant by the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. Who does the Lord put in? Who qualifies? Is it one of the women disciples? How about Mary, the mother of our Lord? She's there. Surely she would be best qualified to be an apostle, right? Well, an apostle is to be a qualified man. Jesus chose 12 men to be apostles. So Peter, as the chairman of the call meeting, declares that we will choose a man that has accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, from the beginning of the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. One of these men must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so two men make the call list. Joseph, called Barsabbas, surnamed Joseph, Justice, and another Matthias. The congregation prays, cast lots, puts the calling in the Lord's hands, and Matthias is chosen. And we never hear of him again. I love that. Why bother then with Matthias? Well, actually, we do hear of him again. That's on the day of Pentecost, because there on the day of Pentecost, there again stands the 12, Matthias included. He's there. Peter stands with the 11. Peter preaches the sermon. That's Acts 2. And of course, obviously, they let Peter preach because he probably couldn't chant the liturgy in tune. 11 plus Peter equals 12. Similarly, Matthew 28, 11. That's 12 minus Judas Iscariot, to whom all authority in heaven and earth Jesus gives the divine mandate to make disciples of all nations by baptizing in the triune name and teaching them to observe everything that he has commanded. But now 11 plus Matthias equals 12. 12, are you still with me? I think you are. In the Old Testament, the Lord had for himself a people, Israel, 12 tribes. Now in the New Testament, the Lord has for himself a new Israel, 12 apostles. We hear of this in Luke 6, when the Lord Jesus prayed all night. From the many of his disciples, he chose 12, whom he then calls apostles, called and ordained into the holy ministry, put into the holy office. Jesus does it. We are told their names. We are told their names because there is to be no doubt as to who is put in the office, namely those who are ordained. And the last one on the list, if you look it up in Luke 6 or Matthew 10, is Judas Iscariot. But now in Acts 1, it's only 11. Judas betrayed the Lord, despaired of the Lord's forgiveness, took his life, his bowels spilled out when he fell. 11 plus Matthias equals 12. The Lord has his 12. Jesus doesn't flub up. He doesn't get stuck at 11. He has for himself a people, an Israel, a 12. All clear on this? Good. Carry on, Jesus says. The 12 apostles, sent ones, for apostolic ministry. The Lord's mandate for apostolic ministry is carried out then in Acts 2 at Pentecost. The 12 on Pentecost preach Christ crucified and risen for the salvation of sinners. They preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. They baptize people in Jesus' name with the giving out of the Holy Spirit and the Good Friday forgiveness bestowed on those who are baptized, feeding sinners then with the Lord's body and blood in the supper. And Matthias in Acts 1 then is put in to the office to be the Lord's instrument for word and sacrament gospel ministry. He is to be the Lord's mouth, the Lord's hands, to preach, to baptize, to absolve, to Lord's Supper, the church created, the church sustained. Yes, the Lord Jesus provides for his little church. 120 at that point. He puts men into the office of the ministry for the sake of preaching and teaching his word. Peter, James, John, James and John, Zebedee's boys, Andrew and Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Matthias, and all the other men put into the office of the holy ministry from then on out. The church and the office of the ministry always go together. You can't have church without ministry, and you can't have ministry without church. Don't try it. Doesn't work. There should never be a perpetual or permanent vacancy in a congregation. Teach the leaders that. The two always must go together. So men are put into the holy office by Jesus to baptize died for sinners in the triune name, sent to preach his word that kills the old Adam and raises up the new man through faith in Jesus, to absolve sinners with Christ's very own word of forgiveness, to bestow Christ's Good Friday body and blood to the baptized as their food for the journey to the promised land of heaven and as their guarantee that their bodies will be raised on the last day. That is why Matthias is put into the office. That is why Kuhlman was put in. We don't choose ourselves. Jesus does. Pastors serve in the holy office in order to bestow and distribute the benefits of Christ's Good Friday death in his, namely Christ's, word and sacraments, and it is to be done in the church. That is apostolic ministry. And so, to sum up, apostolic ministry means that who's preached, huh? Christ is preached, but not any Christ that we make up for ourselves. It is the Christ who suffered and died and rose and ascended for you and for your salvation. The pastor must do his work within the church. He doesn't do it next door. He does it in the church. The church receives the Lord's gifts through the pastor. But when the office is vacant, the church then prays to the Lord to send another man to be Christ's servant. And Christ then puts him in through the church's call, and if it's for the first time, through holy ordination. So here we rejoice in the calling of Matthias in Acts 1. As I said, this is the first and the last time we hear of him in the New Testament. No wonder, because Matthias is a nothing. Matthias would have us pay attention to somebody else. Who would that be? And Jesus, whom Matthias would preach. Because Jesus is everything. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus, he did the salvation job for you. Jesus died for you. He rose for you. And now today he bestows the benefits of that Good Friday death and the sacrament of the altar. That's what Matthias was for. And that's what any pastor is for. So that in receiving Christ's gifts through his apostolic ministers, you then believe in Jesus. And that by believing in his name, you have eternal life. And you do. The Lord then having for himself a 12, ministry and church, his people, even here at Trinity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.